Thank you, Frank, for those songs you picked this morning. Amen. Good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
I'd like to welcome our members. I'd like to welcome those visiting with us. We're very glad that you're here. We welcome the people that are watching online, and we're hoping that the message will be uplifting today. We're glad that you joined us for worship. Have a couple of prayers before we get started in our lesson. Kevin and Feli request prayers for a friend of theirs, Steve, who is 73 and is in a coma right now. And we will pray for them. I'd also like us to pray for the individual or individuals who saw fit to vandalize our property. They need us rather than seeing us as the enemy. They need us, and they need God rather, not us. But let's bow in prayer real quick. Dear Heavenly Father, we humbly come to you, thanking you for all the blessings that you give us. We come right now with a special request on behalf of Kevin and Feli, their friend Steve, who is in a coma. Dear God, we ask that you be with him, be with the doctors, the nurses, as they care for him. We're thankful that he lives in a time and a place in the world that he can get such good care. Dear God, we know that we can approach your throne with our request, but first and foremost, we ask that your will be done and that you give us the strength to yield to your will. We're thankful that we can give you the request, but more than that, let us yield to whatever happens and be strong in spite of. We hope that Kevin and Feli can be a good encouragement to Steve's family. If Steve comes out of the coma, can be a good Christian encouragement to him. Dear God, we also ask that you be with those that have vandalized our property 2 days in a row. There is some anger there. We ask that somehow you touch his or her life, that whatever is missing, only you can provide. Dear God, we ask that you be with the rest of our worship. We hope that the message is pleasing to you, that it is sound and done with spirit and in truth. We pray everything through your Son, Jesus. Amen. We thank the people that have helped kind of clean up today. You women, as I was in class, you know, you women were back there, you know, hustling and bustling, getting things done. I appreciate Tracy and Kurt yesterday so much they did. Tracy was patching walls. Kurt was cleaning up and thought we had the door secure. Daryl's going to offer his services and you know, I think we'll put barbed wire around it and electrical fence and, you know, the whole bit. But, you know, maybe we'll leave some tracks. After we fix the door, we'll leave some tracks out there for them, you know. But anyway, luckily, nobody was hurt. Luckily, nothing was, it was just a window. Just a door, rather than we're still able to hold service, we're still able to conduct what we need to do on the Lord's Day. The visitors that we have, we are so thankful that you are here today. The ladies had an absolutely wonderful time over at Oakey Boulevard yesterday. They had a ladies' day, and Lonnie, I got to tell you, I should have been there because I heard it all. Ever since I picked Stacy up at 3 o'clock, That's all she was talking about all day, about this and that, and all the people she saw. And it was, they had a good time. So we're thankful that you guys hosted that, and nice to have you worship with us this morning. Let's get into our lesson. Ken read the lesson, so we're kind of done. Let's beat the Baptist to the buffets. Acts 8:1-4 is going to be the main part of our message today. It reads, "Now Saul was consenting to his death. At that time, a great persecution arose against the church, which was at Jerusalem. And they were all scattered throughout the regions of Judea and Samaria, except the apostles. And devout men carried Stephen to his burial and made great lamentation over him. As for Saul, he made havoc of the church, entering every house and dragging off men and women, committing them to prison. Therefore, those who were scattered went everywhere preaching the word." Amen. Wonderful passage. We're going to look at these four verses. Verse 1, the first part says, "Now Saul was consenting to his death." They're talking about Stephen, one of the seven that was chosen to serve as a deacon back in Acts 7. It says in verse 58, after Stephen had made an unbelievable message to the crowd, condemning them, reminding them that they had been responsible for the death of Jesus, they stoned him. And in verse 58 it says, "And the witnesses laid down their clothes at the feet of a young man named Saul." And are just a few verses later in Acts, or in verse 1, it said, "And Saul was consenting to his death." In Philippians 3, verse 5, Paul is recounting his genealogy and all that he was wrapped up in Judaism prior to being a Christian. And he says he was circumcised. He's kind of saying, if you want to put stock in physical stuff, you shouldn't, let's not play that game, because I'm far ahead of you. And I considered all that rubbish. He says, "I was circumcised the eighth day, of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of Hebrews, concerning the law, a Pharisee." This is the man that was consenting to Stephen's death. And it goes on to say, "At that time a great persecution arose against the church, which was at Jerusalem. And they were all scattered throughout the regions of Judea and Samaria, except the apostles." You'll just have to trust me. This was not written before all this vandalism. This was written before the vandalism. Persecution is not new. Well, Christians face persecution today. They're... obviously, there are people, there are Christians that are still martyred today in parts of the world. Why? Because they're Christians. Not for what they had done, but because of who they are. Persecution is not new. At that time in the first century, a great persecution was arising against the church. Not for anything that they had done, but for personal reasons. And the Christians were scattered. They did fear for their lives. I'm not condemning somebody that would be scattered we know that even in that scattering, they still preached the word. They were scared for their lives, and they were scattered, but not the apostles. The apostles stayed there. They faced that turmoil head on. We saw earlier in the book of Acts how the apostles had been beaten, threatened, put in jail for preaching this word of Jesus. And in chapter 5, they said, we must obey God rather than men. We thought we told you to stop preaching. That's what you're going to get from us. Many of the Christians were scattered. Not all. Many Christians stayed right there in Jerusalem and continued to preach. The apostles stayed there in the face of this persecution. In Matthew 5, verse 12, Jesus told them this would happen. On the Sermon on the Mount, he says, rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward in heaven. For so they persecuted the prophets who were before you. This persecution thing, it's not new. The prophets before our time were persecuted. And you will be persecuted. But be glad that you stand out in a society for who you are. The man that was telling them this, the Son of God, would wind up losing his life over it. I just wonder, I don't like to read into the scriptures things that aren't there, but my mind wanders sometimes. And I just wonder if the apostles thought back to this time when Jesus told them this. I wonder if they were strengthened, inspired, encouraged, thinking back that our Lord and Savior suffered persecution. What makes us so much better that we shouldn't? And I just wonder if maybe it inspired them a little bit more. Verse 2, it says, and devout men carried Stephen to his burial and made great lamentation over him. I couldn't imagine that. In our equation of this, I just think if one of us would have been violently murdered and the rest of us are carrying him to his burial, how much he would be missed. How they were heartbroken over it. They loved Stephen. He was a powerful man of God. And to take his battered body and considered it a privilege to be one that would see to getting him buried. It wasn't something of that they liked to do, but it was a privilege that they could. And we're going to see that he's buried properly. He was a dear friend, and they loved him, and his presence will be missed. I've said before, people a lot of times are measured by how much they're missed when they're gone. The impact they had when they were there is measured by when they're gone. If their absence isn't felt, then their presence probably wasn't either. He would be one that would be missed and remembered. It says, as for Saul, he made havoc of the church, entering every house and dragging off men and women, committing them to prison. There is rage here. We talked about that in class. There is rage. It's not just, he was zealous for God. But it's more than that. He's not just doing something for the service of God. There is a personal rage against these people. Nothing is going to stop me. He thought he was serving God, when in reality, he was wreaking havoc in the church that he would later serve with the same zeal. Mm-hmm. He was just misdirected. Boy, you got to get your mind right. He was just facing the wrong direction. In Acts 22, he's recounting his past. And he says, I am indeed a Jew, born in Tarsus of Cilicia, but brought up in this city, talking about Jerusalem, at the feet of Gamaliel, one of the greatest rabbis ever known, taught according to the strictness of our father's law, and was zealous toward God as you are all today. Goes on to say in Galatians, and I advanced in Judaism beyond many of my contemporaries in my own nation, being more exceedingly zealous for the traditions of my fathers. That's not a question, Paul. We're not debating you over your zealous mood. That's established. We see that zeal. Zeal isn't always right. In Acts 26, he says, and I punished them often in every synagogue and compelled them to blaspheme. And being exceedingly enraged against them, I persecuted them even to foreign cities. He just didn't run people out of town. He ran them out of town and chased them down. He went after them. This is the man we're talking about. Verse 4. Therefore, those who were scattered, and rightly so, I don't know what I would do. I don't know if I would have to preserve my life. I don't know if I would have been scattered or if I'd have stayed and gone down like Stephen. I know what I would have liked to have done until faced with that. I don't know. I know my personality, but I don't know. Therefore, those who were scattered went everywhere. They were scattered to the four winds, preaching the word. Everywhere they went, they took the word with them. And every direction they went, if we go back to earlier in Acts, the day of Pentecost, where Jews from every nation had come to Jerusalem for Pentecost, and then heard the word, was baptized, 3,000 of them, and they went back to wherever they had come from. When the church is scattered, they may be going to places, to people that had been baptized on the day of Pentecost, to open arms to fellow brothers and sisters in Christ. Different cultures, different people, but what is the uniting factor? Christ. That's the great equalizer in this world. It equalizes race, age, income, culture. The connection is Jesus. They preached the word in spite of the persecution. And as a result of the persecution, the church was growing. It's kind of hard to rejoice in the bad, but you got to look at the silver lining. The church was growing. And everywhere those Christians went, because of the persecution, the church was getting established, stronger, and they were taking that word that the people were trying to snuff out. We talked about it in Bible class when it's trying to catch smoke. It just, you can't, it's going everywhere. And that was scattered. The church was growing. In John 16, Jesus says, they will put you out of the synagogues. Yes, the time is coming that whoever kills you will think that he offers service to God. Or offers God service. That's what Paul thought he was doing. And those like Paul. 2 Corinthians, Paul, who had been Saul, will write this. He will become the persecuted. You know, what's something that it didn't dawn on me until recently. Just because Saul was converted, there were plenty of others to take his place. Because he will be persecuted. Paul will write, we are hard-pressed on every side, yet not crushed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Struck down, but not destroyed. Always caring about in the body of the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life of Jesus also may be manifested in our body. 1 Peter, the Apostle Peter, who was told by Jesus, when you're old, you'll be carried by people where you don't want to go. But be strong. And Peter would write, having a good conscience, that when they defame you as evildoers, those who revile your good conduct in Christ may be ashamed. For it is better, if it is the will of God, to suffer for doing good than for doing evil. Peter's telling them, if you suffer for persecution, oh well. Christ Jesus suffered for persecution. Don't suffer for doing bad things. The jails are full of people that did bad things, and rightly so. Don't be one of those. He goes on to say in the next chapter, beloved, do not think it strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened to you, but rejoice to the extent that you partake of Christ's sufferings, that when his glory is revealed, you may also be glad with exceeding joy. If you are reproached for the name of Christ, blessed are you, for the Spirit of God and of God rests upon you. On their part, he is blasphemed, but on your part, he is glorified. But let none of you suffer as a murderer, as a thief, an evildoer, or as a busybody in other people's mouth. There's a lesson right there. There's a lesson right there in that. Busybodies put in the same categories as murderers, thieves, evildoers, or as a busybody in other people's matters. Yet if anyone suffers as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God in this man. The man that would write this would himself also be crucified, the Apostle Peter. Some of the lessons that I gleaned from this, you might have gotten many more. Some of the things I got out of these four verses. Anyone can change. Who would have thunk that that Saul cat would wind up becoming the Apostle Paul? Who would have thought? Anyone can change. It's a reminder to me to kind of look at people differently. Oh, they'll never come to our way of thinking. Looking at Saul, who would have ever thought that? That he would become the great Apostle Paul. Good can come from bad. The persecution was hard to go through. But good things came out of it. When we're in the midst of a whirlwind storm ourselves, or our lives, look seriously, honestly, look, how can I grow from it? We saw the church grow from persecution. Zealous isn't always pleasing to God. Saul thought he was doing it for God's service. It wasn't pleasing to God. And we saw the Christians serve in spite of the circumstances that surrounded them. The lesson is yours. Again, thank you so much for the visitors that we have. We look forward to worshiping with you again. You'll be back in a couple weeks, you were saying, for a wedding.
Actually, it's in November, sorry.
Oh, okay. But hopefully you'll be back soon. If you need to respond to the invitation, through prayers, through repentance, if you've been looking for a church home, have visited some of the Lord's congregations, and would like to identify with us here, to work and worship and fellowship with us, we would love to have you. Whatever your need, please come forward. Let your needs be known while Frank leads us in the invitation. Let's stand and sing.